Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 1 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie.
It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Another hour to go here, the final after hours of the week. We hand it off to Gordon Damer. Coming your way at 2 a.m. A sloppy game for the Yankees tonight, but I chalk it up to a one-off. They're certainly going to bounce back from that. I understand, though, if you are frustrated with certain players on the team, in particular one Mr. Anthony Volpe. I totally respect that point of view. But when you factor everything in, and this is a credit to the Yankees and just their organization, like any other franchise, if they had been dealt what the Yankees have been dealt this year, you lose. Now, look, you could say what you want about Ben Rice, but your best player is Aaron Judge. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. As great as Rice has been, Judge is the best player. You've lost Aaron Judge here. He's going to be out for a while. You won't see him until probably mid-August. Stanton, you hardly remember he was even on the field this year. Freed, a stud. I mean, I know the Yankees have a depth in their starting rotation, but Max Freed is as good as any pitcher there, not named Cam Schlittler, that's for sure. But, and even then, I mean, Cam Schlittler still got to earn his way through, but I think ceiling-wise, I would give it a Schlittler. But anyway, Grisham out. Caballero's been banged up a bunch. You're not getting any production out of Wells. But yet here the Yankees are, best team in the American League. They got prime Paul Goldschmidt on their team. It's just, there's just something, I don't know exactly what it is, but the Yankees just, through all the iterations through the years, from the early 90s, they just know how to win. They have built that winning culture. And that's a credit to them. The Travis Hafner, Vernon Wells, aging A-Rod, Teixeira, Ben Francisco, Chase, I'm trying to think of all the people, Lyle Overbay, those teams finished over 500. Or at 500. If that was a roster of any other team, they'd have 60 wins. It's amazing. And it's really a credit to their organization and just whatever it is, they manage year in and year out to put a winning product on the field every single season. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Robbie is in Phoenix. What's up, Robbie?
Morning. I just got to say, yeah. I listen to The Fan at work. I listen to it at home before I go to bed. I got to ask you a question. Before I get to my Yankee point, I've noticed you're more relaxed now. You're not agitated. Why do you think that is?
Compared to when?
To you-know-who it took his vacation. The moment he took his vacation, I've noticed you're not as agitated.
When you-know-who took their vacation, I started being less agitated.
Rosenberg!
Oh, yeah. Because,
left,
no doubt.
You're not as agitated. You're more relaxed.
Yes.
Now, here's where I'm getting at. My wife's parents are coming from Japan to visit. Now, I love her father, but guess what I do? I pay for his entire golf the entire week. That's
a great thing as a great thing to do as a son-in-law. That's a really a great son-in-law thing.
But I do it to get my peace and quiet because he's away. Now, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you pay a whole month for him to be away out of your pocket just to have peace and quiet? Would you use my
pay him, or would I pay you? So I'm giving money to Paul Rosenberg?
for a month-long break.
No.
So you could have your peace and quiet.
Nah, I don't want to give him the money. I'd rather, can I donate it to charity or something? I don't want to give Rosenberg basically his charity, but I don't want to. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Sort of, it's the old in Bronx Tale, you know, $20 is out of your life forever. Yeah, look, I am more relaxed without him because he is completely incompetent at his job. And as you say, Robbie, he is, give it to me again, presumptuously arrogant. What was it?
Arrogant presumption.
Yes. Yes, which I pushed him on and pressed him on the other night, and he claims he's not that. But you know what, Robbie? You're a much smarter man than he is, and certainly as smart a man as I am, and we both agree that he is, in fact, that. But you're right. I am a lot more calmer now that Rosenberg is on his little summer sabbatical for the next couple weeks.
Right, and like I'm just saying, like that's what I do. I pay for his golf, and he's away.
Yeah, and it's almost the happy wife, happy life sort of theory. There's a lot of guys out there that would rather just hand their wife money. So, you know, it's the old, hey, I think, what was his name? There was a comedian that, I forgot his name. He was part of with Jeff Foxworthy and stuff. And he said, you know, diamonds, that'll shut her up. So he was, Ron White. That was one of the jokes that he had in his stand-up act. So some people think, hey, you just hand them money and then they'll go away. So that's what you do with your father-in-law. And perhaps that's what I should do with Rosenberg.
Right. It does work, but if you're willing to pay that price.
Yeah,
now,
you got to be willing to write the check, no doubt.
Now, with the Yankees,
yes.
In October, I don't want to see Volpe, and I don't want to see Austin Wells in that lineup. I would rather go with Cabrero as shortstop. I'm sure the Yankees, do you think they'll get a right-handed bat?
Yes.
I think so.
I do.
Yeah, because Wells cannot hit.
He stinks. Agreed.
Yeah,
his numbers are equivalent to, if numbers were a manager, his numbers would be Aaron Boone. Does that make sense?
Right, absolutely. So I want you to think about that. I want the other callers to join in. Would they pay for him to be gone?
To pay for, well, you know what, Rosenberg?
To have their peace and quiet.
Yeah, you know what it is, though, Robbie? Rosenberg, a lot of our audience and callers, they have a soft spot for Rosenberg because he butters them up when he screens their calls. They also view him as a puppy dog on the side of the road. They view him as just, you know, like a little bit of a charity case. And so they I think they enjoy the entertainment for the back and forth with me and him, but they don't want to see him disappear. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Paul Rosenberg or Aaron Boone manage the Yankees?
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, I might go with Rosenberg.
Okay.
And I'd be doing you a favor because he won't be near you.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's actually, you know what? That would be the way to solve both of our problems. You'd get rid of Boone, that's your problem, and I would get rid of Rosenberg because he would become the new Yankee manager. I think we have stumbled on something here that is beneficial for both you and I here, Robbie and Phoenix. So I'm going to put in a good word with Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, next time I talk to them and say, hey, listen, this Aaron Boone guy, I know he's had a lot of success, certainly regular season-wise. I got a guy for you, and his name is Paul Rosenberg. Would you rather have Anthony Volpe or Aaron Boone manage the Yankees?
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Volpe.
Gotcha.
It's really that bad. But let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what I do, because I do that with my father-in-law.
To get him out of your hair, so to speak.
Yes, I get him out. I pay for because.
Do you think he's hip to this? Do you think he realizes the kind of the operation you're running there, where you're...
Possibly, yes. Yes, he's a very shrewd man.
Sure.
And he is a diehard Yankees fan. And then I will have to hear for 6 hours how terrible Aaron Boone is. So I get him to the golf course.
And Robbie, remind me, doesn't your wife have sort of ground rules with you that you can only
20 minutes
a day, right? That you can complain about Aaron Boone, and part of that, I think, is calling this radio station that goes into the 20 minutes. But your wife, your lovely wife,
is correct.
20 minutes a day of complaining about Aaron Boone.
Yes, but he will complain about him for hours.
Right, because there are no rules.
I get him to the golf course.
Yeah,
and so at 6 a.m. I hear Robinson. Robbie said, take me to golf course. I take him to golf course. I go to work, and he plays golf all day because in Japan, it's very hard to join a golf club because you need a lot of money because there's not a lot of land space.
Okay.
They love to go golfing here. He'll golf 24 hours a day that if he could.
Right, and then you just write the check for it. He's out of your hair, and then your wife's happy. Everybody's happy, and then you, my friend, all it is to you is a little bit of money out of your savings account, so not really a big deal.
Right, so there's a price to pay for peace and quiet. There's always a price to pay.
No doubt. No doubt. So you. I'm gonna mull this one over because my initial reaction, Robbie, was no, but you think the best course of action, not only for me, but for this great audience here, is for me to sort of pay for Rosenberg to go to a spa for the month or golfing or whatever it is that Paul Rosenberg wants to do in his spare time, but I should write the check to get him out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I think upper management would agree with that. So perhaps I will, maybe I could borrow a little money from the company. Listen, I have a great idea. I just need a few bucks. It means Rosenberg won't be here for a month. Probably that'd be a good idea. But yeah, I think I am a little, Robbie is, Robbie, say what you want about the guy, but he was the first one to call this radio station and demand that Aaron Boone be fired. He wasn't the last, but he was the first. You know, for some of you out there, for some of you Yankee fans, it took maybe a season, maybe a couple years, maybe even the real harsh critics, it took a few months. Not Robbie. For Robbie, it took 3 days. It took a series. He knew what many would ultimately know, and that is Aaron Boone should be fired. But Robbie was the first guy to call up and demand that Aaron Boone be fired. But it only took 3 games. But Robbie is a visionary. Robbie is ahead of the curve. Robbie knows how to get rid of his father-in-law and put him on a golf course so he doesn't have to deal with him. Robbie has great ways of me to get rid of Rosenberg and to get Rosenberg out of my life. Robbie pinned exactly the type of person and character that Paul Rosenberg is. Not the glue, but really a pain in the ass, which we all know. And across the bear, which I have to as a friend. I'm too far down the road where I can't unfriend him. It's not like Facebook where I'm like, I'm just going to unfriend this guy. I got to be his friend. It is what it is. But to pay for him to be out of my life for a little bit, much like in the Bronx Tale. You know, $20, he's out of your life forever. It's something I will mull over the weekend. And Robbie, call me back next week. I'll have an answer for you. Let's go to Matt in Belmar here on After Hours. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how are you doing? Nice to hear my call.
You got it, bro. What's up?
So we'll talk about the Mets, and I'm just going to be straight. I mean, I just think the season is going down the drain, and I mean, it's just losing 6 straight, getting swept by the Cubs. You just see no life out of this team, and just errors, fundamental baseball not being played. And I just think the proposition is just going to, and it's multiple years. It's not just this year. I mean, last year, a massive disappointment. They've had years of big payrolls in 23. Maybe that's not relevant, but I mean, it's not working out with the team. The lineup is just fundamentally, there's too many holes that weren't filled in the offseason. And then there's been a ton of bad offseason signings like Bregman and Cody and Tucker, but like the Alvarez era, the Beatty era, I mean, the team is just, it's just not good. And I think you hit the reset button. That's where I'm at, because I just don't think they're going to build any consistency for the future and structure.
Yeah, listen, I think, Matt, I appreciate the call. I think if this continues to go this way, they're obviously going to hit the reset button. I didn't view the Peterson trade as the start of a fire sale. I just looked at it more like the writing was on the wall. You were able to get a prospect that is a former second-round pick and only a couple years ago. The Cubs certainly need help in their starting rotation, so it makes sense both sides. And I feel like the Mets are like, okay, you know, if that's what you're going to offer us, if we can get something like that, we'll take it. But I don't think this means it's the start of all these guys getting traded. You know, obviously we're still a month or so away from the deadline. If things continue to go the way they're going, and I'm hopeful that they aren't, and I want to see them get back in the race and finish 500 in the month of June, meaning having a 500 month of June record-wise, and they can get close by the deadline where they're in it, I think they'll be buyers. But if things continue to go this way, yes, I think there's a reset, there's trades. But a lot of these players, it's complicated. You know, guys have opt-outs, and Clay Holmes, or opt-ins, I sure, opt-outs, opt-ins, Clay Holmes, Bichette. Lindor is a complicated situation. Now, you brought up some of the Alvarezes and the Vientoses and the Beatties of the world. And listen, and I acknowledge this, especially for Vientos and Beatty, this is the last sort of straw for them. I don't think there's any other way around that. And they obviously represent a prior regime. So if you're David Stearns, you're, all right, I'm going to put you guys out here. If you perform, great. If you don't, I certainly don't have any loyalty to you because you're not guys that I drafted or helped develop in the minors, and I want to see this through, and I'll be stubborn with it. So I think you get that reset button. But with that reset button, there perhaps could be some bumps and bruises along the way. That's part of it. And I think that's what this organization with Cohen and Stearns, that's what they were trying to avoid, was, all right, we are rebuilding. But they don't want to say that, so they want to, or even do it in a way where they, all right, let's try to be competitive, you know, year in and year out until we get to that goal where we're, all right, we're ready to win big. If we can win in the meantime, awesome. And sometimes you get bumps and bruises with that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Michael in Paterson, New Jersey here on The Fan. What's up, Mike?
So I want to say a Volpe point, but first I want to say, what do you think is going to happen when Judge and Grisham come back to the outfield?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, I mean, obviously with Spencer Jones and Dominguez, and I talked about those two guys before. Those guys are going to get, the short answer is those guys are going to get their job back. I mean, Judge and Grisham are going to be playing every day, of course. But it stinks because you're going to have, you know, you have Jones, you have Dominguez, and you certainly want to see them play, but you might have, you know, too many players and not enough spots. But I fully expect Grisham, definitely obviously Judge, but even Grisham to kind of get his job back.
Spencer Jones was way overhyped.
I don't want to say he's necessarily an overrated player. He's great defensively. He has a ton of power. The contact is not always there where you need it
to be. He's not ready for the big league.
Yeah, but at some point you got to, you know, are you ready or you're not ready? Meaning, are you a major league player or you're not? And that's why getting this opportunity, you can find out if they are in fact ready. Now, Dominguez has obviously been up here more than Jones, meaning in the last couple of years, but you try to find out if these guys are going to be players or are they going to be trade chips that you can acquire relief pitching or a catcher or whatever the case may be, starting pitcher.
And Volpe, I don't know why the whole fan base is hating on him.
He's
doing his best year. This is his best year he ever had. He's contributing so much to the team.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it last year. There's a lot of sour grapes, and it's not me picking on Yankee fans here, but they do have a history of, hey, we have to single out one player, and he's kind of got to be the guy we rip all the time, whether it's Gary Sanchez, whether it's Joey Gallo, whether it's Josh Donaldson, whether it's Anthony Volpe, whether it's Devin Williams. There just always has to be that one player where it's like, okay, this guy stinks, he stinks, he stinks. And listen, Anthony Volpe didn't help himself with the year he had last year. And look, he made a bad throw tonight, and he's doing all right, but there's still a lot of bad feelings towards him from his performance last year. And there's also this, I think, feeling that there's sort of sports nepotism with him and he's the golden boy. And so I think that doesn't sit well with a lot of the fans. But Anthony, I still think, has a role in this organization somewhere, whether it's a utility or maybe second base next year if they move on from Jazz. I still think he has a home here, and obviously there are things he could do on a baseball field to help you win, and I think a lot of last year was about an injury, but you know, it is the Yankees, and really, they are winning what they're doing right now is, part of it's the American League's things, but part of it is just that they have a winning culture, and they have Rice and Schlittler and Bellinger and Goldschmidt. They just, they have a lot of depth, but they also have Wells. And to me, that's you're the Yankees. You should be pretty much, and now maybe I even sound like a Yankee fan, you need to be great at every single position. But that should be the standard. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Steven in Stamford. What's up, Steven?
Hey, how you doing, Lugie? Just wanted to say, love your show.
Thank
I think you're great. You're exactly what I need at 1:20 in the morning.
Thank you.
It just keeps me awake and functioning and on the road and safe and sound.
Yeah, but that's a big part of the audience. You know, people that are on the road, whether it's for work or whatever the case may be. So I'm happy I could be that voice. I could be that companion for everybody on a nightly basis. So I appreciate you saying that.
And also, I mean, I think that one of the callers a while ago who said, you know, we need you to be patriotic Tommy.
Yeah, revolutionary, you know, Tommy. I'm already patriotic Tommy with the soccer
patriotic
team.
Yeah, okay, we're either one, revolutionary Tommy or, you know, I think, you know, I would say that, yes, we always knew that as Met fans, there would always be bad teams. This is the first time, though, we've had a $1 billion roster and nothing to show for it. You have to admit that. That's a different.
Oh, that's a big part of the. Yeah. So, the word you're looking for is expectations. When you spend this kind of money, when you come off of the Wilpons, who often, and part of that was, I mean, they did spend, but they often shopped on the clearance rack, and we all know the whole situation that went on there. When Steve Cohen came in, now some of this was we as Met fans built it up to be almost like of mythical proportions. The idea of Steve Cohen, but the bottom line is he has spent. He spent a ton of money. And when you spend that kind of money, you expect big-time results. You expect championship results. And when you don't get that, that's going to be frustrating. And then when you have a year like they're having now, it's going to be extra frustrating because not only do you yourself have those expectations of your franchise, but, and not every fan cares about this, but there are some that do, you become a target for jokes and to be made fun of, and you got this payroll and you can't win. So you not only are frustrated with your team, but you're also dealing with outside noises. And like it or not, here in New York, we are divided. So when you, for baseball and all the sports except for basketball, when you walk down the street, there's a Yankee fan giving you grief. You go to your job, there's a Yankee fan giving you grief. So I get it all the time from my Yankee fan friends. You know, in baseball season, it could be rough out there at times. So that's all part of it. And you just hope that, you know what, this team has a vision and has a plan. And that if this season continues to go the way it goes, this is the last, hopefully, of years like this.
Well, it's from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah.
So I would say that while that is definitely the plan, the question I have, though, is that I'm having, you know, like if you want something to change, you have to change something.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out that the Yankees, and here I am, a Met fan, diehard Met fan. You know, I would almost rather, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm so diehard Met fan that I'd almost rather the Yankees lose than the Mets win. That's how diehard Met fan I am. You know, it's just that, like, you can't have both. The Yanks win offsets a Met win. It just doesn't go. But I admire the fact that the Yankees have battled through their injuries, and the Mets have fallen flat on their face because the Yankees clearly have something called a culture that doesn't exist in the Mets clubhouse. It's not there.
Well, listen, and you know what, though? The one thing I will say to defend the Mets here, what the Yankees have as far as culture, I don't think anybody else has it to the way the Yankees have it. Nobody has had winning records since 19. I think their last losing season was like 1992. So nobody can match that. So I think if any other franchise was dealing with this, you know, the Yankees have found ways through the years to always have a winning record. No other franchise would be able to do that. It's just a testament to them. But I hear you, though. You want to build a culture, you know, to get to the Yankees. I mean, that's 30 years of culture, and that's tough to accomplish. But obviously, you'd love to be able to be something where, hey, you could sustain injuries and you could be a team that's in the race, you know, year in and year out, no matter what's thrown at you.
Right. I want to at least see the path to, you know, yeah. you can't start 30 years without year one.
Correct. Yeah, you gotta. Sometimes you gotta start on the ground floor. But I also think that the presenting everybody, that meaning Steve, and telling us what the deal is, I think will go a long way in easing a little bit of the fear and anxiety that the fan base is dealing with right now. Because I think there is a little bit of the, oh boy, were we sold a bill of goods? Is this going to be one of those situations where they don't want to admit defeat and we're headed towards years and years of being terrible? I don't feel like that's the case, but there are a lot of people out there that are feeling that hopeless feeling, not just aggravated, but hopeless. And that's where if you can hear something from your owner that makes you feel better, at bare minimum, it'll make you feel better. And then, of course, you want to see the results. But at least you can go to bed at night going, all right, I still think my franchise is in great hands.
Well, I would also like to say that that's all very true. But, you know, the one group of people that you haven't mentioned, you mentioned the fans, mm-hmm. and you mentioned, but you didn't mention the season ticket holders. We were sold a bill of goods, and we are paying premium dollars to sit in that stadium. And the guy, one of the callers who said, you know, I could, in Stamford, I could go to Scalzi Park and see this, see the kinds of errors that are being made. I mean, six errors. I mean, if you look around the NL East, I don't think another team has made six errors this month in the infield.
Yeah, I don't know what I forgot exactly, but it was the Mets had, it was the first game this year where a team had a home, whatever it was, they had home runs and the Cubs didn't, and then they lost, and it was just one of the things, it was the first time all year that happened, and obviously it was due to all the errors or whatever it was, but yeah, it's one of those situations where I understand, and I understand the sloppy play will aggravate people, and yes, I do, I guess I clumped in fans, everybody, but in specifically for the season ticket holders, those that, like an Evan Roberts, that pump all this money into the team and are there most home games, they're the ones that sort of can't shut the game off. You know what I mean? They have to sit there essentially the entire time, deal with traffic, deal with all that stuff, and then also view what they're viewing. And that goes to even more why I think that Steve Cohen, that's his customers. Those are the people that really drop the money. They need something. Now, you'd love to hand them a championship this year. You'd love to hand them wins. But if you can't do that, then hand them something where you're like, hey, I feel your pain. I appreciate your business. Here's what we're going to do to make this better.
So why in God's name, then, do they keep on running out Vientos at first base? We've done this before. We've watched this for the last 3 months.
That's where I think it goes more towards a managerial thing, but it is a domino effect because the manager is still there because of Stearns and Cohen or Stearns, you know what I mean? But I do think that's on the manager. I mean, he obviously is making... I don't think David Stearns has any sort of loyalty to Vientos, so I think it's a manager thing. Now, they didn't get rid of the manager either in the offseason or at any point this year up till now. And I don't know if you agree or not, Steve, but I don't think they're going to get rid of him the rest of the year. Now, I'm hopeful they turn it around, but even if they don't, I think they're just going to ride it out with him till like September, and then perhaps for the final couple games they will. But yeah, they've made the decision to stick with Mendy, and he's the guy putting Vientos at first base every night.
Right. And so after a while, it's hard to watch as a season ticket holder. I don't have 6-7 hours to waste, you know, going to and coming back from the game, sitting on the white stone each way for 2 hours. It's not happening.
Well, especially with Connecticut, if I left now to get to Connecticut, I'd get there in 8 days. I mean, the traffic to Connecticut is
awful. You're lucky.
It might be one of the worst I've ever seen in this country. It is so brutal. So I hear you. You got to travel in from Connecticut and everything that goes into it. You know, the gas, which is, you know, I think it's up to $7 a gallon now. So it's not cheap. It's not cheap to go to the game. And when you plop down that kind of money, you could say, well, they could sell their tickets. Well, when the team's not playing well, it's hard to sell the tickets. And you don't want to sell the tickets. You want to go to the games. So I hear you.
Correct.
I do.
I want to see a pro product.
Yeah.
I want to see a professional product.
Yeah.
I can see Amateur Hour for free at Scalzi Park.
Yeah, I get it, Steve. I feel you on that. And that's where I think where Steve Cohen, it would go a long way to people like Steve if he would just say, look, I also get the perspective of, hey, you're grown up, you make grown up decisions, you buy season tickets, you put the money down, that's your choice. But okay, but still, that's probably your most loyal audience is the season ticket holder. So that's the one. and they're dropping the most money, certainly the most financially invested. We're all emotionally invested, but the most financially invested are those that are plopping down whatever it is for season tickets. Ask Evan what it is, and he's been doing it forever. That's why I said when they dedicated a seat to Grimace, how do you not dedicate a seat to Evan? Guy's been sitting there picking his nose, scoring baseball games for forever at that place and the place before that. Give him a seat, among others that have done the same. That's why it's important for Steve Cohen to address the audience, to address his audience, to address Met fans, my fellow Met fans. It's important. It's not something you want to hear all the time. Like, perfect example. Why doesn't Leon Rose meet the media? Why does it? Now that the Knicks have won a championship, I don't care if I hear from Leon Rose ever again. I don't need to hear from him. I know he did the roommate show with Brunson and Josh Hart because he promised them he would go on there if they won a championship. But now, in Leon we trust. Do what you got to do. Now, we'll get to Mitch Robinson here in a second. But in Leon we trust. Do your thing. Even if they don't go to the second apron, which will annoy people. And I understand that. It's probably going to annoy me too. But in Leon we trust. He has built the Knicks brick by brick into a champion. He's earned the right because I believe if they don't go into the second apron, Leon signed off on that. Just like Leon and everybody signed off on Tibbs. But Leon has earned that right to be fully trusted. So we don't need to hear from him. But when you win a championship, unless it's a situation like Cashman where many Yankee fans feel like he's overstayed his welcome. But obviously, Leon Rose hasn't done that. That's where you need to hear from the Mets. That's where you need to hear from them. And it can't just be Mendy every night saying sort of the same thing. It can't be David Stearns bi-weekly or whatever he meets the media. And David Stearns, you know, if Evan can't understand what you're saying from a baseball analytical point of view, then nobody can. So if Steve Cohen can kind of bring it down to where all of us can understand it, that will go a long way. Sometimes the best way to get out of an argument with your wife is just to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When you try to talk your way out of it or ignore her, it only makes it worse. Just say you're sorry. Say you screwed up. And try not to make the same mistake twice. But when you try to, well, you know, or you, and sometimes I'm guilty of this where I blame her for my mistake. That's the worst thing you can do. Just own the mistake. It's all good. We're human. And then when they make a mistake, which she does, and she doesn't want to hear it, but just be sympathetic of their mistake. And it's very simple. Marriage is very simple. We complicate it, but it's very simple. You screw up, own your mistake. When they screw up, take it easy on them. That's it. That's it. And make sure you pay the credit card bill every couple weeks. Outside of that, you're in good shape. And don't say bad things about her parents. I mean, really. And don't, if she has a hot friend, ideally don't hit on the hot friend. Those are it. That's it. A couple of basic food groups here. And if you're going to do one of them, hit on the hot friend. But the rest of them, you're good. Same thing here with the baseball or any sports when it comes to ownership. If things are great, now, that's when the owner, ironically enough, wants to meet the media, of course. But when things are great, don't necessarily need to hear from you. When things are not going great, that's when we need to hear from you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to call up, you can. At 888-808-1019, we will take those calls, Yankees and Mets, for the next 25 minutes. And before we sign off, so in the final half hour here, I'll get into this. Stephan Bondi and Shams both had something to say about Mitchell Robinson's future. We will cover that in the final couple minutes of After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
140 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan, the final After Hours of the week. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second. Gordon Damer comes your way at 2 a.m. But first, The Fan Focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. This comes from Stefan Bondi, and also Shams had this report as well. Heard it's unlikely. This is according to Stefan and Shams. Like I said, they both had this report. Heard it's unlikely Mitchell Robinson will be back with the Knicks next season. This is Bondi from his tweet. He's longest tenured Knick, obviously. Also an unrestricted free agent. Owner James Dolan said he's unwilling to pay into second apron, so running it back with bench is not feasible. And Sham said the same thing about Mitchell Robinson's future. I certainly hope these reports about Mitchell Robinson and his future don't end up coming to fruition. See, I think this team has earned the right to run it back. I want to see this Knick team in full defend their crown. You know, second apron be damned. Now, in Leon we trust. I'm certainly not going to criticize anything Leon Rose does. I know we all have in the past, and he built a championship team brick by brick by brick. So he certainly deserves the benefit of the doubt. And I believe that Leon Rose agrees with not going into the second apron if they ultimately don't go into the second apron. I don't think it's just a James Dolan thing. I think they are in lockstep, Rose and James Dolan. I think there is a good partnership there. So if James Dolan doesn't want to do it, then Leon Rose, I think, feels the same way. I hope they do, though, because I think the restrictions of a second apron won't restrict the Knicks because they're trying to retain players, not trying to add players. So all the things that hamper you with a second apron won't hamper the Knicks, and they can get out of the second apron. But ultimately, if they want to run this team back, if they do what I want them to do, they're going to have to go to the second apron. And so far, it feels like, based on reports and things that James Dolan has said and what the Knicks did in the draft, it seems like they're not going to go to the second apron. So I understand Mitchell Robinson could be on his way out. You certainly don't want him to go to Boston. I want to see him in a Knick uniform. But I hope Mitchell Robinson comes back. I will hold out hope for Mitchell Robinson coming back. If he doesn't, yes, in Leon we trust. But I want to see this team, because of how connected, how cohesive, the camaraderie, the chemistry, which ultimately led to a championship. I want to see this back, the run it back Knicks, in 2027. So I will hold out hope, despite these reports, that Mitchell Robinson will be back. He will return and be a member of the Knicks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours here on The Fan. Let's go to Mary in Brooklyn. Mary, what's going on?
How's it going, Tommy?
Hey, how's it going?
So, we all want Mitchell Robinson back, of course, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'll let everyone else do the talking. But you said the American League sucks, and I think that's an understatement. Okay, this is their record so far in June, and besides for the series that they lost against the Guardians in the beginning, after that, this is what happened.
Yep.
The series with Boston, won the next series with Cleveland, won the Blue Jays, won the White Sox, lost to the Reds, and won the Tigers. And now hopefully they're going to win split the series with the Red Sox again. Mm-hmm. The only team, besides for the Guardians at the beginning of the month, that they lost to was in the National League. That is how bad the American League sucks.
Yeah, and listen, Mary, if you look, if you want to have a little fun, do a little research, the National League, now obviously you could just go to their records, but if you go head-to-head, National League versus the American League, the National League has kicked the American League's tuchus this year. So it's clearly the best league. Now, that doesn't mean the champion's coming out of the National League, but the National League is the superior league so far, and the Yankees are, I think, head and shoulders the best team in the American League. Compared to the National League, I think they're right there with the Dodgers. They're right there with the Braves. So if those are teams they see down the line, then they will be, I think, right there with them. But the National League has been incredible this year.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I would have faith in the Yankees that they're not going to win the World Series, but I do think it's going to be the Dodgers or the Braves.
You think it's the National League is going to take the... So you would not No, you do not have the Yankees, if they get to the World Series, you do not have them knocking off a National League team there or whoever represents the National League in the World Series.
I guess it depends how things play out in the postseason and everything.
Yeah, because you never know. Because you know why? You don't want to make this mistake, Mary. You're sitting here in June and you're like, oh, well, obviously the Dodgers are defending champs two times over here and the Braves are off to this incredible start. You don't know where things are going to be at come September and October, and it could change your opinion on that. Here's what I think we both agree on, though. The Yankees are getting to the World Series. I just don't see a team in the American League that, I mean, the Mariners were supposed to be that. They're 500. Now, believe it or not, they're leading their division. I certainly don't think the White Sox or Guardians are a major threat. The Blue Jays are under 500. The Rays are going in the wrong direction. So it feels like a very clear path for the Yankees to get back to the Fall Classic.
Yeah, the AL West and the AL Central really, really, really suck.
I mean, the AL West is beyond.
So I just want to talk about tonight's game for a second.
Yeah, of course.
So a few things. First of all, about Schwitler, he let up that homer too. I think it was Caleb Durbin.
Yep.
And they said none of the runs were earned. But how does that make any sense?
Well, there was an error right before that.
Right, but if he homered, then one of the runs should be earned.
Yeah, one of the runs should be earned. Yeah, I never totally understood that one either. I just think it's because you put those runners on base that therefore that moment wouldn't have happened. The home run would have never have happened. So they count that runner, meaning the person who hit the home run, in with the other runners that scored. That's why none of them are earned.
And also, if the runs weren't earned, then how did Schwitler get the loss?
See, that's the thing. Someone has to lose the game. So you can't have an unearned loss. Maybe, Mary, down the line, you've stumbled on something here, that there should be some type of unearned loss, but they have to give the, and I always appreciate the call, Mary. You're right. They should have a certain loss with an asterisk. Well, he lost, but he gave up all unearned runs, which is, you know, I don't want to say it's never happens, but I think it's a little bit more uncommon than most. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Before I get out of here, because it's been a big theme of the night, as positive Tommy, I'm always going to be positive about the Mets, and I remain positive about them this year and going forward. But I understand, I do, that my fellow Met fans are upset. They're mad. They're angry. And they're not feeling overly positive with the first couple of months of this season. So my positive Tommy plea to Steve Cohen is you need to speak to your audience. You need to speak to Met fans. You need to address the fan base. And I think about what Steve Cohen said a couple years ago where he wanted to change the attitudes of a lot of Met fans and make them more positive. Well, I think positive Tommy embodies the Met fan that Steve Cohen wants. So who better than me to put this plea out there to Steve Cohen, because I, positive Tommy, who's on the front lines every night, who's tweeting about the Mets after every loss, who is on the radio every night taking calls from Met fans, preaching the power of positivity, who better than positive Tommy to offer this plea to Steve Cohen? But I do think it's important for Steve to meet the media. Now, it could be on this great radio station. He could do a sit down with Gary or with Howie or with Steve Gelbs. But Steve Cohen just needs to say, hey, listen, I understand the frustration. Here's why we made the decisions we made. Here's our plan now. Here's our plan going forward. And I feel for all the Met fans out there. I'm a Met fan myself. Doesn't mean you're waving the white flag. Doesn't mean you're giving up. Doesn't mean the season's a failure. I still believe. I still have the power of positivity. But for those fans that need this, it will go a long way. You're not going to win everybody over. There's a lot of Met fans that are just very upset, and you could say all that, and it's just words to them, and they want to see results. But there's also a big portion of the fan base that if you do speak to them through an interview, I wouldn't tweet anything. I would just have an interview with somebody on this great radio station or somebody within the Met organization as far as media. I think it'll go a really, really long way. It'll explain to everybody what the plan is. And the majority of the fan base will then be able to dissect that, rationalize that, and they could at least go to bed at night knowing that the franchise is in great hands. Because, yeah, it's great to hear from people when things are going great. And everybody loves positive Tommy when things are going great. But when things aren't going the way you want it to go, and you're certainly hopeful it'll turn around this year, but that's when we need to hear from you the most. That's when positive Tommy is needed the most, and that's where the owner of the team is needed the most. So my positive Tommy plea to Steve Cohen is, join me on the front line. I'm the fan that you want the Met fan to be. So if you're not going to listen to other Met fans, listen to me, positive Tommy. You're a perfect fan, Steve Cohen. And speak to your audience. Meet the media. Do a one-on-one interview here. Do a one-on-one interview. Whatever form you want to do, but do it. Speak up and talk about the state of the franchise. That's owed to your audience. And I think it'll go a very, very long way. So I'm not going to necessarily take a shot at you or anything like that. I'm just going to say this is my positive Tommy plea. We haven't heard from you in a few months. I think this is a good time to speak to your fan base, speak to your audience. And this is coming from positive Tommy, a guy who is positive about your baseball team, even with the start that they've had. So I think I'm a good person to give you this plea. So speak to the fans. We all want to win. You want to win. I want to win. We all want to win. We all want the same result. And I believe in your plan, but people just want to hear it. They want to know why you did this. They want to know what you're going to do in the future. And they want to know how you feel about Stearns and Mendoza and just save the franchise. There's nothing wrong with that. This is your consumers. This is your people that plop all their money down, season ticket holders, your audience, your fan base, diehards, people that have been waiting for a championship for a very long time. And we'll be patient, absolutely. But there's times where you gotta step up and meet the media. And this feels like one of those times. So this is my positive Tommy plea to you. Meet the media. Speak to your audience. Speak to your fans. They deserve to hear from you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Ed in Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
What do you say?
Hey, what's up?
Do you remember what Brian Cashman did when he first got to the Yankees in 98?
No, remind me. It's been a minute.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't do a thing. They went to the World Series 2 years before, just like the Mets. They were almost, they didn't go, but they were 2 games away. They did too much. Simple as that. There was no need to get rid of Severino. They should have held on to him. No need to get rid of the closer. And you know what? You didn't need Soto yet. You're better off hanging on to Alonso.
Well, and Ed, I apologize we couldn't get to you. Soto is obviously a great player. He's also box office. He's going to get fannies in the seats. He's just a terrific baseball player. I love Pete Alonso. Juan Soto's way better. You'd much rather have Juan Soto than Pete Alonso. As much as everybody loves Pete Alonso, I don't think there's a soul out there that's going to say I'd rather have Pete Alonso than Juan Soto. So let's not go there with that take, Ed. This is what I mean. Sometimes we go a little bit too overboard because we're emotional and frustrated. That's okay, but I got to reel you back in. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to everybody listening, everybody that called in. My thanks to Connor Green. My thanks to Fleegs. Gordon Damer comes your way next. Everybody have a great weekend. This is the final After Hours of the week. I'll be back with you Sunday into Monday. We'll talk to you then right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.